It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Jean Seberg grew up in Marshalltown. She became an international movie star and lived most of her adult life in Paris. She starred in 37 films and is possibly best remembered for her role in the movie Breathless, at the forefront of the French New Wave movement. The new feature film, Seberg, stars Kristen Stewart as Seberg and is a fictionalized account of her involvement with the Black Panther Party and surveillance and harassment by the FBI. I have asked the filmmaking team behind the documentary, Movie Star, The Secret Lives of Jean Seberg, to give us their impressions of the new film. Kelly and Tammy Rundle of Fourth Wall Films are here with me. A new high-definition edition of their film is scheduled to be released in November. Kelly and Tammy, thank you so much for coming in.
Our pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
And before we talk about the new film, let's do a little review of Jean Seberg, because obviously she passed away in 1979, so these films are part of history for a lot of people. A lot of people are not familiar with her work, or they may be stunned to learn that she grew up in Marshalltown, Iowa. But she did grow up in Marshalltown, and she had an early interest in drama. She was a pretty well-known student, a star in Marshalltown, even as a child, right?
She was. The editor of the Times Republican remarked that when they saw Jean in a play, a high school play, that afterward his wife said, "That girl's going to be a movie star." So she did stand out, as someone, a friend said, in everything that she did. When you look at the newspaper clippings, it's kind of remarkable, even for a small town, how often she's featured.
Right. And we will talk a little bit about her activism, because, of course, that's at the center of this new film. But she also had a political consciousness, even as a high school student. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, she joined the NAACP at age 14. And if you look at the context of what was happening then, you might wonder why. But Jean always had a feeling for anyone who she felt was being treated differently than everyone else. And so that was a consistent pattern beginning very, very early in her life and then continuing as she became famous and then had money that she could donate to causes.
All right. I can add to that. Yeah. I remember when we interviewed her sister, Mary Ann, one of the first things she said was that Jean had a big heart. She was very compassionate, and she supported the overlooked and the disadvantaged always.
Well, she was well known for, as she started making money, she didn't forget Iowa, and she bought brand new uniforms for the basketball team on the Meskwaki settlement at the Meskwaki school. And
right.
she was committed to her home state and to investing.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about her career. She had a big break right at the very start of her career, although that big break also led to a lot of heartbreak. Let's talk about that first big break.
Well, the director, Otto Preminger, was casting a new film version of the Joan of Arc story, Saint Joan. And he engaged in a worldwide talent search, and Jean was one of 18,000 applicants, and ultimately she was chosen for that role. So it was kind of like a American Idol on steroids type contest.
All right. So she was in that role. Obviously, there was a lot of hype leading up to the role.
Yes.
And then the film is released. And then what happens?
Well, I've seen the film, and I can tell you that Jean Seberg is not the problem. Jean is there.
But a lot of people thought she was.
Well, she got a lot of the blame. And I think that had to do with that huge amount of publicity that led up to the role. But the film stumbles on many levels, and she's the least of the problems with the film. But rocky start.
All right. Well, for people who are not familiar with her work, I want to play just a moment that gives us Jean Seberg's voice a little bit. And this is from your documentary, and we're going to play a clip of a film called Bonjour Tristesse. This was a 1958 film from Columbia Pictures. And for her, she kind of felt like this was a last-ditch effort to make it in Hollywood.
Well, it was her second film with Preminger, and it didn't succeed here, but was widely regarded overseas, and particularly in France. It's a good film.
All right. Well, we'll listen to just a moment from that film.
Let's get married.
It's an epidemic.
I'm serious.
You're only a boy.
I only look like a boy. I'm 25.
Where's Elsa? Did your mother...
I'm telling you, I love you. I'm proposing.
I heard you the first time.
She was so beloved in her second movie by Preminger, which again in the United States was not a success, but the French loved it. She had something, you see. Something was there that not everyone got, but the Europeans got it. And thank God for that.
So I pulled that clip from your documentary, Movie Star, The Secret Lives of Jean Seberg. So we also heard the response from Manoah Bauman, the photographic editor, following that. But again, so Jean Seberg, who, if you don't know her, look her up right now and look at a picture of her. Incredibly beautiful, charming woman. And she really clicked in Europe. So that's what led to this huge career in Europe after that, right?
Yes. While making Bonjour, she met her first husband, Francois Morial, and he was Jean-Luc Godard was a friend of his. So Godard was casting Breathless and was interested in Jean, and Jean did do that film and had a little trouble at the beginning because there was a lot of improvisation going on. It was not the Hollywood sort of machinery that she was accustomed to. But if you see the film, you'll see that she really adapted pretty quickly and very beautifully to that style of filmmaking.
And she lights up the screen whenever she's on it.
True.
Yeah. and then, so tell me about her career after that. Breathless was a real breakthrough for her, but again, mainly a breakthrough in Europe.
Right. And the American movies that people might remember Jean Seberg most for would be Airport, big star-studded film, Paint Your Wagon, Hollywood musical. Some say put the nail in the coffin of the Hollywood musical. Again, not because of Jean Seberg, but other problems. And then her best American film was probably Lilith with Warren Beatty. And she did get a Golden Globe nomination for that film.
Right. So I want to talk about her activism. As we talked about, that's something that started very early in her life. But this new feature film is a fictionalized account of her involvement with the Black Panther Party and then FBI surveillance that followed. And those are both drawn from reality, right? So tell me a little bit about her. It's not based in reality, but those are facts.
Right.
So
right.
Tell me a little bit about her engagement with the Black Panther Party.
Well, the film Seberg depicts it beginning with a sort of a chance meeting with Hakeem Jamal on an airplane, and that sort of happened the way you see it there, minus the dramatic posing with members of the Black Panther Party and holding her fist up and things like that. But he was not, he introduced her to the Black Panthers. And Jean was initially interested in a free breakfast program that they were engaged in for children. And that was kind of how she got her foot in that door.
And the FBI did find her to be a person of interest.
She wrote a check, contributed to the Black Panther Party, and that's what drew their attention. Jean was one of many, many people and organizations who were targeted by the FBI's COINTELPRO program. And we've seen the memo, have a copy of the memo where she's indicated as a contributor, and the phrase is she needs to be neutralized. That's the word that was used.
All right. And she did pass away in 1979, and many people believed that she died by suicide, and there are some mysterious things about her death that have never really been answered. And this is this period in her life that the new feature film is about. It stars Kristen Stewart with the short blonde bob looking quite a lot like Jean Seberg. And I know that the two of you have been to see the film. So give me your, and I know that as filmmakers, you don't like to critique other people's films, but that's what I've asked you here to do. So give me your impressions. You want to go first, Tammy?
I will. We couldn't hardly wait to go and see it. You know, we've been working on this documentary a very long time with our partner, Gary McKee. And he is Jean's biographer, has written a number of books. So we, because of him, we know a great deal about Jean. And we knew going in that it was loosely based, you know, on a small and sensational slice of Jean's life, 1968 through 1971. And, you know, the writers admitted that they didn't do a lot of research.
So they purposely didn't do a lot of research.
I don't know if it was purposely or they just didn't have time or what it was.
Okay.
They chose not to. They did not go to Marshalltown to visit her hometown. They did not go and see the Seberg archive collection there. They did not talk to her family. They did not talk to friends and acquaintances and colleagues. They didn't talk to Gary. So there wasn't any, I think that's an important part. If you're going to study Jean Seberg or you're going to do a film about Jean Seberg, that is your first place to go. And of course, that's what we did. So I think that kind of maybe impacted our impression of the film initially. I don't know.
Well, we've been working on this HD remaster for the last several months and more intently the last few weeks. So it was an odd feeling in
right,
a way to go see the movie.
Right, to go from your work to this work.
Well, and to see the bits and pieces of things that are scattered in there and just, you know, we know how the story was put together only because we know a lot about the story. But the average viewer will see it and probably find it entertaining and won't really know what's fact and what's fiction, I think.
I think that's probably true. There's a lot of misinformation floating around about Jean Seberg on the internet. And I would say that the film probably will add to that problem. And I think a lot of people will walk out of the theater and they will think that they've seen the true story of Jean Seberg. And I think that people really need to dig deeper because it's not... the facts are jumbled. There's a lot of misinformation that's still in the film. You know.
The you, of course, the two of you didn't know Jean Seberg, but you
Correct.
Have extensively researched her life, and you've, of course, watched all of her films as well to bring together what you need for your documentary. So let's talk about Kristen Stewart's portrayal of her. When you see her, she looks very much like Jean Seberg. Did you feel like they captured the essence of Jean Seberg in this role?
No.
Okay.
Sorry, Kristen. We don't know Kristen, and she's a wonderful actress. But it's because we know something about Jean and because we've seen all but two of her films, which is not easy to do, by the way. It doesn't capture the essence. So she gives, I think, an adequate performance, but it doesn't put me in the mind of Jean Seberg.
All right. So characterize the Jean Seberg that we see in this movie and then characterize the Jean Seberg that you feel is the real Jean Seberg.
Well, I think in the movie, they've got a little over 90 minutes. And of course, we know as well, a movie or a film isn't an encyclopedia, so you can't include everything. And it's about what kinds of things you do include. So Jean's entire philosophy, for example, about her interest in giving to causes might be summed up in a sentence or two.
A soundbite.
And that doesn't really give you the depth of her personal feelings about that. There are a couple of statements made by characters in the film. One is by Hakeem Jamal's wife, where she says she accuses Jean of being a tourist in their world. And I think Jean was a little smarter than that and probably understood that. But at the same time, there's a line from Hakeem Jamal where he says, you don't know what you're getting involved in, and you're probably going to end up getting hurt. I'm paraphrasing. You know, that was a danger that she may or may not have been aware of. It's hard to imagine the entire resources of the FBI being focused on Jean Seberg in some way, but she was under surveillance. Her phones were tapped. Little Jean Seberg from Marshalltown, Iowa, was on a list of people who, in the event of a national emergency, could be arrested and thrown in jail without charges. It seems ridiculous now. And if you read the FBI's website about the COINTELPRO program, they acknowledge that it was rightfully criticized.
Jean was not somebody who was an in-your-face kind of activist either. She was, when she was supporting the Black Panther Party, she wasn't standing with her fist in the air in solidarity. You know, this is stuff she was doing behind the scenes to support all kinds of civil rights movement activities. She was against racism from a very early age. You know, she's a compassionate person. That does not come out, of course. You know, she was very funny and a loving person. Her film work and her legacy is not touched on at all in the film. And that was a big part of her life. You know, this is just a little slice, and I don't really think it's fair. You know, it's out of context with the bigger picture.
Context is what it's missing. And that's not easy to do.
But it also, it sounds like you feel like they underestimated her.
Yes.
In this role.
Well, I would say as depicted.
Yeah.
It's kind of superficial.
Yeah.
All right. So a lot of people are going to want to see this because Jean Seberg is one of our most famous Iowans. Would you recommend going to the movie?
Well, to the extent that people who see the movie are curious to look further, it's a good thing.
All right. So go to the movie if you are willing to do your homework.
That's right.
I think so. I because the context isn't really there. So you kind of have to – it's a much, much bigger – I mean, Jean's story is kind of an epic tale with all kinds of twists and turns. It reads like, you know, bad fiction in a way. But, you know, there's lots of good things about Jean's life and legacy along with, you know, some of the unpleasant things that happened.
And a lot of heartbreak.
Right.
Yes.
And what do you want Iowans to know about Jean Seberg? Obviously, they should watch your film when it's released in November.
Of course.
But what do you want? What do you want Iowans to know in a nutshell about her?
Well, we've said this before, but we think it's time that for Iowa to own Jean Seberg. She has a lot of great qualities. She certainly never forgot her hometown or her home state, and she just is a remarkable person with a legacy that goes on and on.
And she's not a saint, you know. She's not a Saint Jean. She is a human being. So she is flawed, but she's also a wonderful person.
Do you have a favorite film of hers that people should watch?
Lilith.
Lilith.
Yep, mine too. Although 5 Day Lover and In the French Style also.
And also read Gary McGee's books for more information.
Right.
All right. Thank you both. Kelly and Tammy Rundle of Fourth Wall Films, a new high definition edition of their film Movie Star, The Secret Lives of Jean Seberg, is scheduled to be released in November. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.